Today we'll begin the second week of our Advent retreat by looking at the final judgment. Stay where you are. We begin now. Hello there. Come on in. Make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimak. We're about to begin our second week of the Advent retreat. So glad you could join me today. I made it back from Louisiana. I had a great time last week. In case you are listening and you happen to be there at the retreat last week, I want to thank you for being there. It was great to meet you, to talk with you. Neil and Cindy, it was great to see you, and I'm glad you could come to the retreat. And anybody else who was there, it's technically a parish mission that I was at last week, had some great opportunities. We spoke in Metairie first. I gave a one-night talk in Metairie, which is a suburb of New Orleans. Then I moved on to Carancro, which is in the Diocese of Lafayette, to give a three-day parish mission at St. Peter Parish. But it was a great experience. I love traveling around, sharing the good news. And here we are beginning another week of the Advent retreat. These programs are being pre-taped because I'm on the road again. I'm in Los Alamos, New Mexico, for a two-day parish mission, Monday and Tuesday of this week. Well, Wednesday I'll be traveling all day, so we're going to do all three shows over the weekend just to make sure that you have your programs, and I hope you're doing good with the Advent retreat. It's a pleasure to be able to lead you in doing this, because I think one of the worst things that we can do, and believe me, I've done it for many years, is to ignore this great season of Advent. Advent is a time to prepare our hearts to welcome Jesus Christ more deeply into our lives, and that's what we're doing here. So we'll take a look at the Mass readings today. We'll pray our St. Andrew Novena. I hope everything's going well with that. I hope you're keeping up with it. In addition, we'll take a look at a meditation on the final judgment. Now, you remember specifically in the first week of Advent, we focused a lot on the fact that the Lord is coming again in glory. And we also want to shift our thoughts to the fact that we'll meet him and be judged at the end of our earthly life. We want to be prepared. We want to make sure that we're ready, and that's why we do what we do during the Advent season. We clean up some of the clutter in our lives and make sure that we are living the life that he wants us to live. So we're going to talk about all of that on the program. We're going to first begin with prayer, St. Andrew Novena as well, and then we'll start the show. All right, you ready to get started? Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us another day to know you, to love you, to serve you. We thank you for letting us be here on this Advent retreat. We ask that you draw us closer to you through your Son, Jesus. Father, help those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair. Please help those who are dealing with an addiction of any kind. Please help those whose children are suffering and who may be estranged from them for whatever reason. Help mend the relationships, help them come back. Also, Father, we ask you to help those who are struggling financially, those who are dealing with any kind of a religious persecution situation, as well as those who are suffering from extreme weather conditions. We pray for peace in the world. We realize, Father, that there are so many instances of violence. The latest terrorist attack in California is an example, but we know that throughout the world there are many areas torn by violence. Father, we ask you to bring about peace to all of these areas. And we ask you to help us with our own personal issues and problems, things that may distract us. I present this show to you, Father, and I ask you to speak through me today. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, ask for her prayers as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we're going to pray our St. Andrew Novena, where we lift up our special intention, whatever it may be, and we turn to the Lord, and through the intercession of his Blessed Mother, we pray this novena. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires. Through the merits of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and of his Blessed Mother, amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. Blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary, at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, O my God, to hear my prayer and grant my desires, through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his Blessed Mother. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there we go. We're all prayed up, ready to get started. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. Great to be back here with you for another week of our Advent retreat. And you know what's pretty funny? This Sunday was the second Sunday of Advent. We only got two more to go. The amazing thing about Advent, unlike Lent, it just tends to fly by. So let's try to make the most of it while we can, because you know that in the weeks to come, it's going to get more and more hectic as we get closer to Christmas. So right now, we're still somewhat early in the season. So let's try to do our best to continue to grow closer to Christ. That's what it is. That's what we're trying to do during these weeks of Advent. We're trying to grow closer to our Lord. Quick reminder that if you're in the New Mexico, Los Alamos, New Mexico area, I'm going to be there tonight and tomorrow. leading a parish mission, the Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Stop on by. We call the mission Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry. I'm going to be giving two different talks. I'll have all my books, and I'd love to meet you. So if you're in the neighborhood, please make it a point to stop by. If you would like to find out about bringing me to your parish, maybe for a Lenten mission next year, followingthetruth.com is my website. Visit there. You can find out more information about how to bring me in. I'd love to speak at your parish. And I want to let you know, too, that all the talks that we gave in Louisiana last week were recorded. We're going to have an audio and a DVD release. So eventually you'll be able to see some of these talks that I gave. I will keep you posted. And I think what we're going to do is try to post some of this video on my website at some point. But it's going to take a little while, probably sometime in January before it's available. The good news is that if you or somebody else is interested in booking me as a speaker, you're going to have plenty of video to look at, which is something that I've always wanted to make available. Beverage du jour today, it's just a simple glass of water. Nice cold water, though. Sometimes it works magic. Always also keep in mind that if you are looking for a great Christmas gift, Mystic Monk Coffee, available at followingthetruth.com, is a great gift for the coffee lover in your life. And if you shop from Amazon.com, you would help me greatly by using the link to my Amazon store. So anything you buy from Amazon, if you would just go to followingthetruth.com, go to the donate page. At the very bottom, you'll see a link to my Amazon store. If you click on that, it'll take you into Amazon, and you get your regular prices that you would get otherwise. But the fact that you came from that link on my website means that they pay me a little commission on anything that you purchase. I don't get to see what you purchase, but what I do is get to see the results. So it would really help me to keep this program on the air and to keep my full-time apostolate going. So I would really appreciate that. Followingthetruth.com, it's right on the donate page at the very bottom. All right, let's take a look at the Mass readings. Today is Monday, December the 7th. We're now in the second week of Advent. Today is the memorial of St. Ambrose, who is a bishop and a doctor of the church, but the readings that we use are the standard Advent readings. First reading, once again, hearing a lot from this prophet, is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steppe will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God, he comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag, and the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert, and rivers in the steppe. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The abode where jackals lurk will be a marsh for the reed and papyrus. A highway will be there, called the Holy Way. No one unclean may pass over it, nor fools go astray on it. No lion will be there, nor beast of prey go up to be met upon it. It is for those with a journey to make, and on it the redeemed will walk. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing. Crowned with everlasting joy, they will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. We see some more signs pointing to the coming of the Messiah and all of these great things that will be happening soon. And when Jesus would go around healing people, the prophecies were fulfilled. Some people got it and some didn't. Some still didn't want anything to do with the Lord. And they were closed-minded. They closed their mind off to the prophecies contained in books such as the book of Isaiah. I like the part where the prophet said, say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God, he comes with vindication. So many of us get caught up in fear for any number of reasons. But the answer to our fears is really Christ. There is no doubt there are things in life that happen that are scary. But the ultimate answer when we are afraid is Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is what we're trying to do during this Advent season. We're trying to get closer and closer and closer to the Lord. And whenever you feel afraid, there's nothing wrong with feeling afraid, but make sure that fear leads you to the Lord. I give a talk called From Fear to Faith, and I have a book called From Fear to Faith. And I've said numerous times when I've been speaking that don't be afraid to be afraid. It's okay. Just make sure that fear leads you closer to the Lord. If that fear leads you to worry, well, that's a problem. So we want to continue to keep our eye on the Lord, focus more on Him and less on our problems. What you'll see is you will feel peace. The responsorial psalm today is from Psalm 85. Our God will come to save us. I will hear what God proclaims, the Lord, for He proclaims peace to His people. Near indeed is His salvation to those who fear Him. Glory dwelling in our land, kindness and truth shall meet. Justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven. The Lord Himself will give His benefits. Our land shall yield its increase. Justice shall walk before Him, and salvation along the way of His steps. Our God will come to save us. Notice that it's in the future tense. Our God will come to save us. That longing, that looking forward to the coming of the Lord, even though He was born 2,000 years ago, look to that coming of Him spiritually into your heart. That's what you should focus on during the days of Advent. Have that anticipation, that longing. Boy, how good it's going to feel when Jesus comes more deeply into my heart, when I can really get to know Him better. I wish that could happen right now. You see, when you start thinking about that, you begin to have that longing. Boy, I wish we had a better relationship. I wish I knew Him. I wish I was more familiar with Jesus. And as you start to have that desire, that's going to motivate you to do what you need to do to grow closer to Him. So look forward to getting to know Him better, because that's exactly what will happen during this Advent season if you give it your best shot. The Gospel is from Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. One day as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was with Him for healing. And some men brought on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and set him in His presence. But not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles into the middle in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, He said, "As for you, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to ask themselves, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them in reply, "What are you thinking in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," He said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." He stood up immediately before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home, glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God, and struck with awe, they said, "We have seen incredible things today." You know, this is an example of people being close-minded. And what I said at the beginning is true. It was true then. It's true today. There are many people in life, and look, you and I, we've been guilty of this sometimes, who are close-minded and refuse to accept the work of God in the world, even if they see it right before their eyes. Despite the fact that they knew the prophecies, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who definitely should have known what the prophet said about Jesus, the Messiah, despite the fact that they knew that, they wanted Him to appear in a different way. They wanted Him to do different things. They accused Him of blasphemy because He wasn't meeting their expectations of what a Messiah should be like. So their minds were closed, and they refused to accept the fact that Jesus was able to forgive sins. But this is a beautiful example of His mercy. What He did was, He said, "Okay, If you don't think that's good enough, let me show you a physical healing, basically so that you'll believe in me. And that's what he did. And this is the problem that we have sometimes. We tend to accept the physical healings, the physical evidence that we can see with our eyes, better than we do the spiritual things. But in reality, the fact that we can be absolved of our sins by Jesus is much more valuable than the fact that he can heal us of any physical ailment. It's much more valuable. Because here's the thing. Once we're healed physically, we're still going to die. The only reason we get healed physically, or we see these various material miracles in our lives, is so that it will lead us to a deeper spiritual encounter with the Lord. He does these physical things so that we believe in him. Because ultimately, there is no greater miracle that can happen than me being forgiven of my sins. Because those sins could keep me out of heaven. That affects my eternal salvation. So that is huge. That is the biggest and greatest healing possible. But we tend to blow that off sometimes and think, well, that's not that important. I want to see things that I can witness with my eyes. And therefore, the Lord, even though he probably shouldn't, but because he's the Lord and he's all-loving, what he does is he reaches out to us and accepts the fact that we're skeptical and we need to see evidence with our eyes. And he, every now and then, probably more often than we realize because we don't recognize these miracles, he performs things, miraculous events that we can see with our eyes. That's exactly what happened here. So what I would say today, as you look at these readings, you might get a different message out of it. What I would say is, look for the evidence of God working in your life and try not to be closed-minded, and pray for the grace to not be closed-minded as the Pharisees and the scribes were. And I think if you start to do that, if you make it a point to do that during Advent, you'll see things, even the littlest pieces of evidence of God working in your life, you will see things that will uplift you and that will increase your faith. Now, let's take a look at a little meditation called The Final Examination. This is from the book Meditations from Advent to Lent that I've been reading from. The Final Examination. And again, this is a reminder that you're going to be judged one day. And again, the reason I do this and the reason you hear me mention this a lot is because it gives us a sense of urgency. It makes us realize that this might be the last Advent I ever have. Might not be, but it might. And I want to treat it as if it is because I want to get the best results possible from it. Okay, recall the words of St. Paul and think how earnestly he would have spoken them to you. For all of us must be made manifest before the tribunal of Christ, so that each one may receive what he has won through his body, according to his works, whether good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5:10. The petition today I ask earnestly for the graces that I may so live as to pass this final examination successfully. Medieval university preachers, in speaking of the final judgment of each soul, used to compare it to the university examinations. Certainly teachers and educational administrators, who are so often involved in tests and measurements, might well think of the final test which all shall have to take. For that one, there will be no further conditional examinations. There will be no possible retake. I shall either pass or fail, and the result will reverberate down through the centuries of eternity. In other words, this final judgment, this final examination, where we're going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to see everything we did, and we're going to be judged. That's it. There is no retest for that. So, look, you know, we're alive, we're here, we can do something about it now. Let's think about it so that we can do a good job with it. I do not know the time or place of this examination. It may come to me when I'm just starting out on my career as a servant of the Lord, or I may take that final examination in my 80s or 90s. I do not know in what circumstances it will come upon me, for like death, its time and place are uncertain. Still, although the time and place of this examination are most uncertain, something I shall never know beforehand, the fact of its coming is absolutely certain. For we shall all stand at the judgment seat of God. Therefore, every one of us will render an account for himself to God. Romans 14, verses 11 and 12. This is a frightening thought, and no rational person would deny that it is. But this thought may also prove to be a very helpful one for me. Every one of us has experienced in our own lives, and perhaps seen in the lives of our students and those around us, the effectiveness of the thought of a coming test or examination. It frightens one into working, actually to real intensive work. Some may even believe that testing, whatever its nature be, is the all-important instrument in any form of education. At any rate, I know the simple fact that the thought of an examination can produce good, can drive the student to the acquisition of knowledge. Why should not the thought of my final examination aid me to a better service of God? But it is not only fear that impels me to work harder and to show in my service my love of God. I want to pass that final examination with flying colors. I want to hear our Lord say directly to me those supremely consoling words that we read in Matthew 25:34. Come, blessed of my Father, take possession of the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. During this meditation, let me think over the phrases of that psalm for greater confidence in the Lord. Psalm 45, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in distress. Therefore we fear not, though the earth be shaken, the Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. There you go. And, I would agree that it is a good thing for us. It's a good thing for us to focus on the fact that we will be judged because we tend to be lazy sometimes, especially during this time of year when it's very easy to get distracted with all of the work that has to get done. And when we do that, when we become too distracted with all the work that has to be done, the preparations for Christmas, the shopping, the baking, whatever it may be, we're not going to take the time to really focus on what we need to focus on. And that's, am I doing a good job with my life? Am I living the way the Lord wants me to live? What areas can I change? How can I grow closer to Him? We got to make the time to do that. You're here, you're listening to the program, and I think that's a wonderful thing. I'm not just kidding about that. It's really great that you show up, and we do this every day, and we spend this 30 minutes together. And I hope it made you think. I hope this program made you think today, especially as we looked at the readings and we focused on the scribes and the teachers of the law who just were completely closed-minded. And I think sometimes we do the same thing when we look at our lives, we hear the gospel proclaimed at Mass, we hear the homily, and we think, well, those other people, they better wake up and start doing that because I'm doing it. I'm glad I'm not in that position, right? Don't we do that sometimes? We start to feel a little self-righteous. Advent's not the time to be self-righteous. Advent is the time to feel like you're a sinner, because that's really the explanation, that's what true humility is. Humility is when we see ourselves as we truly are, and no matter how good we are, no matter what good we do in life, we're basically sinners. And I don't say that to make you feel bad about yourself, but I say that to motivate you and to make you look at your life realistically. We're sinners. We can't do anything without the Lord's help. And we don't want to just sit around and pat ourselves on the back during Advent, tell ourselves how good we are. We want to look at the problem areas in our lives and do something to clean them up. So with the help of God, we ask for His grace to grow a little bit closer to Him each day. And of course, as we grow closer to Him, what does that mean? We're moving away from sin. We can either go back towards sin or we can move closer to the Lord. We can't do both at the same time. So let's keep moving forward. Let's, as I've said many, many times, let's not beat ourselves up because we're not making the progress that we feel we should be making. If all of a sudden all these sins start popping into our heads, we feel like we're getting worse. We're not getting worse. What we're doing is we're becoming more aware of our sinfulness, and that's a grace given to us by the Holy Spirit. See, that's a good thing. The more you try to work on getting closer to Christ, what happens is you start to realize how many times you're sinning, and that's a good thing. And what you do with that is you go to confession, and you have your sins forgiven, just like in that gospel story today. Well, I'm just about out of time. I look forward to seeing you here tomorrow. Tomorrow's a special day. It's the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Mother. So we're going to talk about our Blessed Mother tomorrow. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. See you later.